Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. So we thought we'd try to make some sense out of what the heck is going on across the country and throughout South Carolina and wherever else about politics. So we went over to the Brain Trust at Winthrop University, and by golly, who do they send us? The man, the myth, the legend of politics, Dr. Scott Huffman. How are you, Doc?
Because they couldn't get anybody who actually knew what they were talking about.
So how you been, buddy?
The dregs of the barrel. It's an election year, so I'm about as good as I could possibly be, which is terrible.
So the Winthrop poll, are you going to get another one out before
we're
election?
We're not going to get another one out before the election, unfortunately. Okay. But, you know, Trump won South Carolina by 11.6 points last time. And our last poll said he's, you know, going to win it by at least over 10 this time. I don't think that shocks anybody in the listening area or in the entire world that Trump's going to win South Carolina style. I mean, you know, people forget that he, quote unquote, only won in 2020 by 11.6, but yeah, he's going to solidly win South Carolina.
What do you think he's going to do in Georgia?
That's a bigger question. And let me point out the difference between Georgia and North Carolina on that. Georgia, 40% of the entire population of Georgia is in the Atlanta metro area. 40% of the entire population. And of course, it leans blue. So when it comes to organizing, it's a lot easier for Democrats to kind of organize there. But with the demographic changes, usually the demographic changes into the South help the Democrats because they're, you know, coming into urban areas. But South Carolina is an exception. People coming in, they tend to be more retirees on the coast, and they're really not, but helping the Democratic Party. North Carolina, Charlotte is a big blue dot.
Yeah.
But the other Democratic cities are, you know, Raleigh, Winston-Salem. You know, they're not, you know, close together like the Atlanta metro area. So it's a lot harder for them. And Democrats only turned out to the tune of, I want to say, 73, 74% last time in North Carolina to Republicans, like 83%. So, you know, both North Carolina and Georgia, it is all depending on the Democrats' ability to organize and out-organize the Republicans. And right now, Kamala Harris is outspending Trump there. Doesn't mean she's going to beat him there.
Yeah. It's surprising when you say about Charlotte being a big blue dot. That, to me, that why wouldn't the Raleigh-Durham area be a big blue dot? Because it's got all the academia there. And normally academia, the big universities, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, the students, most of the students, if they vote, they vote where they live. You know, they vote where they're from.
That's true.
Even though technically I think students should vote, you know, at the university because they live there 9 months out of the year. Right. And most of them, you know, get a full refund on their income taxes. So the main taxes they pay, sales taxes in the cities and counties where they live. So that's where they ought to be voting, frankly. But, you know, Durham, where Duke is, it's tiny. You know, Raleigh is the big growth engine there. In the Triad area. And Chapel Hill, again, tiny. It's more the suburbs of the Chapel Hill area that are growing, but, you know, it's Raleigh. And, of course, you know, Asheville is a blue dot, but now it's part of the horrific mess that's all through Western North Carolina. You know, a lot of those people, they haven't even found people yet, much less thought about how any of them are going to vote.
True. So let's go back to square one. It was early on in this election cycle. I always remember this poll that came out of Democrats and Republicans, and overwhelmingly 70% of those polls say we don't want Biden and we don't want Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the parties gave them exactly that.
Yeah, sure. Well, I, you know, the you know, and I said this to you earlier, basically, you know, only Hillary Clinton could have made Trump president. He was unknown to the Republican Party, and everyone, the man used to be registered as a Democrat, for goodness sakes. And so he now, the Republican Party now, is the Trump Party. He doesn't look like Ronald Reagan's Republican Party anymore. And, only, you know, only the visceral dislike of Hillary Clinton could have gotten a lot of those independents to go, okay, I'll vote for this guy Trump who I don't know. And as I mentioned earlier, the only way Kamala Harris could become president is if it's people who are disliking Trump, afraid of Trump. I mean, you know, Trump has fundamentally altered the nature of American politics. And if you're a Republican, well, some Republicans dislike that. But if you're a Republican, you know, you're happy about that. If you're a Democrat, you're afraid of that. But it's the fact about the last couple of elections. And the Democrats in 2020 thought, oh, my God, what's the only way we can beat, you know, one old dude, let's run another old dude against him. And, you know, the Democratic Party had been looking at Joe Biden since the 80s and going, yeah, no thanks. I mean, Joe Biden had been running for president in the 80s. Remember when, you know, he got busted for plagiarizing the presidential primary of 1988, I believe. He plagiarized the life story of Neil Kinnock from Great Britain. People can Google me and, you know, Google it and make sure I'm right. But the Democratic Party's been going, yeah, nah. Until finally they're like, my God, this might be the only person who could beat Trump. And so they ran him, and they were right. But now this election, nobody was thrilled, unless you're a purist pro-Biden or a purist pro-Trump. Nobody was thrilled, the average person. Not many were thrilled about their choices.
And yet, you know, and again, I don't care what your political flavor is. Well, I thought we had a very interesting candidate, Nikki Haley. Mm-hmm. She, you know, there's nothing you could fire at that woman that she wouldn't have a concrete answer for. She didn't give you a bunch of word salad. She gave you, you know, her experiences as a UN ambassador.
If she didn't have an answer, she at least had a sling to throw something right back, just as you know, quippy and brilliant right back at you. I mean, I remember when, you know, Trump was lambasting her before, you know, when he was running for election, and her response on Twitter was simply, bless your heart. And it was, I mean, she could handle any dart thrown at her because she had plenty.
We have not heard the end of her, have we?
Oh, gosh, no.
No.
No. She's,
she'll be there in 4 years.
She is, you know, on a few paid boards. She's on, you know, some think tanks, you know. No matter what happens, essentially this time, Trump's not running again. If he gets elected, he can't run again. If he loses, you know, even the MAGA movement, he'll be too old for them next time. Oh, she isn't going anywhere. She will be a fixture in the future of American politics. I'd bet the bank on that one.
All right, Doc, so here we are. You're in the polling business with a very fine, I might add, Winthrop poll. Should we take stock in all these national polls that are fired at us every day from every source? Well, are they right? This thing is that tight?
Wait, there's a couple answers because there's a couple of questions in there. First off, what you need to remember about the national polls, that's not how we elect presidents. Everybody listening knows we elect via the Electoral College. So the national polls really don't tell us anything meaningful other than trends. If there is one candidate is constantly trending up or begin trending down, then that is something to watch. And watch the legitimate polls, the ones, you know, that you see, you know, at 538, it's aggregator. You can look and see, you know, which polls are being counted and which aren't. So right now it's the polls in the swing states that are kind of the most important, but you know, there's not always enough done in the swing states. And I'll give you an example of why looking at the national polls can be dangerous. Go back to 2016, and you know, Trump won the presidency. Well, he won the presidency in the Electoral College. He lost the popular vote, but he won in the Electoral College overwhelmingly. And it's because, one of the things is because the polling was so dead on nationally, it threw people off. National polling was only 1% off, right, showing Hillary Clinton would get more votes. The problem with 2016 was in almost all of the battleground states, the final numbers were within 2 to 3 points of the polling numbers. So, gee, it looks like the polls are doing great. But they were all off 2 or 3 percentage points for Hillary, for Hillary, for Hillary. So she lost those states by a tiny amount. The polls said she might win them. It's close, but they were all off by 3% or less, but all off in the same direction. And that had to do with people not weighting, W-E-I-G-H-T, weighting their polls for education. So they fixed that, and in 2020, they come along, and nationally, the polls are actually a little more off, but the state polls are a little more accurate. So, and we went from 2020 with the national polls being dead on and the state polls a little off to the state polls being better on and the national polls being a little off. Well, it gets worse. Hang on. So right now in 2024, we have two paths that legitimate pollsters, you know, and we're not talking party pollsters who do 50 polls and only put out two. We're talking about, you know, legitimate pollsters have taken two paths. One path is to do kind of what we've started doing after 2016, you weight by education as well as race, sex, and age.
Right.
The other path is adding a weight based on reported vote in 2020 to see if people are, you know, serious about whether or not they're going to vote. Well, you know, two paths diverge in the wood. Well, here's the two stories that come up. Depending on which methodology you use, it looks like, on one hand, oh, the national poll, you know, it's a lot closer nationally, but it's going better for this candidate in the states. And the other side shows, oh, my God, it's, you know, super tight in the states, but it's going better for this candidate nationally. So we're getting two ever so slightly different stories, but the slight difference makes or breaks a president. You know, so, again, you know, everything is hindsight 2020. After the election's over. But the thing is, you can win by a very, very, very thin margin in a few states, and it looked like you have an overwhelming victory in the Electoral College. So that's, you know, again, you know, we've been decrying the death of polling since Dewey defeats Truman. Right? But, you know, every year it's come back and gotten better. When they have a problem, they fixed it. Then a new problem comes up, and we've handled it. We fixed it. You know, the latest one is, you know, when I started this 20 years ago, look, we were calling landlines. Now only 4% of South Carolinians are reachable only by landline. So we ain't calling that many landlines anymore. Yeah, your great aunt Sally's the only one.
So we always hear about the swing states.
Correct.
There's seven of them, I believe.
Usually, yeah.
Usually seven. And to be classified as a swing state is because one election is going to be one way, one election is going to be another way. I mean, I can't believe out of 50 states that we've got 43 that are already cast in blue or red.
More or less, yeah. I mean, it has to do with, you know, everything from the distribution of population to, you know, to race, to class, to socioeconomic status, to absolutely everything. But again, because of the Electoral College, it does come down. Because if you know you're going to, you know, get several more, you know, tens of thousands more votes in this state, you're not going to put your money into that state. And the Electoral College throws things off by a little bit. Let me give you an example. Wyoming versus California. For every single vote, a voter in Wyoming, their vote is worth 3.6 Californians votes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, mathematically, Wyoming shouldn't even have a congressional district, yet they have a district and two senators. So what that does is, if you look at, again, I'll use California as an example, they have 11.6% of the population, but they only have 10% of the Electoral College votes. So they should technically have nine more Electoral College votes than they do. So when we talk about these margins, we're saying, okay, if this state is going to go enough, and we know we can't have a tipping point campaign for the persuadables, forget it. We have to focus on the states that might go one way or the other. And those come down very often to the same states. In both 2020 and 2024, we're talking Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Now, looking at them right now, and in 2020, those states added up the margin of victory, 10,457 votes in Arizona. That was 0.3%. That Trump won, or, you know, that or Trump, that Biden won over Trump in Arizona. You add up all those margins, and it comes to 0.24% of the entire vote in the United States. That's less than 1%, a quarter of 1%. However, that quarter of 1%, because that you only need one vote to win a state, means that 17% of the Electoral College is bound up in those states. So that's what it is. When you have two candidates that are both very close, it's those tipping point states that matter. How do they end up that way? Well, again, it has to do with the nature of the populations, how the economy grew over, you know, decades, all that. I mean, you talk about the nature of how unions grew in Massachusetts, if you want to get to why it's such a blue state, and so on and so on.
All right, we got to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that they are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. All right, he's been here a long time. He knows exactly what we're about to do. Fresh subs and salads here at Substation 2, 6 days a week. How do we do it, Doc? At the count of three. Slice, slice, slice.
Garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Stuck in the office? Can't get away from school? Then go to our website, mysubstationii.com, click on your delivery choice, place your order, and they'll bring your sub or salad to you at home, school, the office, or even where you're watching the game. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
If your primary care physician has recommended surgery for a medical condition and non-invasive medical treatments are not an option, you may want to talk to your surgeon about new, less invasive surgical techniques. At Piedmont Medical Center, we use Da Vinci Robotic Surgery, a robot-assisted system controlled by your surgeon designed to allow for greater surgical precision during many general GYN and urology procedures that potentially offers you a quicker recovery. Learn more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Ready for a win-win? For a limited time, upgrade your ride for less and score a chance to win the ultimate football experience. That's right. From now until October 31st, apply for an auto loan at a reduced rate with Founders Federal Credit Union, and you're automatically entered to win four tickets to the Clemson versus USC game in Death Valley on November 30th, an exclusive Death Valley experience and a Founders tailgate package. Stop by a Founders office or apply online today. Visit foundersfcu.com/auto to learn more. Terms and conditions apply. No purchase necessary. Membership qualification required.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
If life is getting in the way of having your favorite substation sub or salad, there is a solution. Just go to our website, mysubstationii.com, click on your delivery choice, place your order, and they'll bring it to you wherever you are. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop. This is Charlie Ruffalo, and I paid for this message.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Very pleased to have with us Dr. Scott Huffman from Winthrop University. He teaches political science. He teaches life. He teaches how to do polls. He's just a general cornucopia of information. You like that, right? Okay, so people historically have voted their pocketbooks. We all know the inflation thing. It's costing us more to buy a sub here, buy groceries, buy gasoline, da-da-da-da-da. And you would think that people would immediately attach that to the existing administration and then take a look at what was there before with Trump when things were a lot better in terms of the economy. Not true, though, right?
No, absolutely not. First off, you know, people's memory is very, very short. At 2 o'clock today, most people will misremember what you and I said here this afternoon.
How could they?
You know, second, people forget what inflation is. I mean, they know, oh, it raises prices. Well, inflation, you know, shot up at the beginning of Biden's presidency to 8-9%. I just checked the other day, it's down to 2.4%, which is almost back to as low as it was under Trump. But as low as inflation is, if it's inflation, that means the prices are still rising. They're just not rising by as much.
The new benchmark for these prices has been set.
So people are thinking, well, shouldn't the price, if inflation's coming down, shouldn't the prices come down? Unfortunately, that's not how inflation works. It just means they're not rising as fast. What would be happening then would be deflation, and that would actually be dangerous for the economy. But you know why people are feeling the inflation worse? It's because the things that inflation's hitting the hardest. There actually has been deflation on things like TVs. You can actually get a 60-inch TV now for $400 instead of $5,000.
And you're overpaying it $400.
But the things that have gone up that people feel the most are food, are medical costs, hospital-specifically costs, and housing. So the things that hit people's pocketbook the most still have the stickiest inflation. Listen, I have a graph I show people where it's 10 food companies that own almost 100 different brands. Actually, it's way more than 100 brands. So you think there's competition, but it's actually just two sub-companies owned by the same company. Right. And so there's no real capitalist competition out there. So when the prices go up, unless there's something specific to drive them down, that company's going to keep them high. Or if they have to bring them down, your cereal box is getting smaller. You just don't realize it.
So the second thing that strikes me that I hope people are taking seriously is, to me, the world's on fire right now. We've got all kinds of problems in the Middle East. We've got Ukraine and Putin and, you know, all these new alliances that are shaping up to try to take out the good old U.S. of A. I wonder whether people understand that, because as we talked about before, it seems like most of America hasn't the slightest idea what the heck is going on, or doesn't care.
You know, most your average person is disengaged from politics and the issues. They have these things I've heard about called lives. I never really experienced one myself outside of that doesn't involve politics, but they're not as engaged. Your average person during the height of the Cold War. Even back in the 80s, unless we were paying attention to politics, we didn't really know what NATO was or why it was so important. But listen, every military historian or analyst will tell you how stunningly important NATO is and has been to peace in our time after World War II. But Trump comes along and, he's not happy with NATO. And now a bunch of people who never knew what NATO was are angry about it. And they're not even sure why. And, and the same thing happens on both sides. If your guy or your gal is for something or against something, then you're for it or against it because you're not as engaged on the issues. And it's not an accusation. It's just there's too much information available. And that's always been the case. Now, as you commented to me earlier, because we have the entire world, almost literally, at our fingertips, so we are deluged with information. But even when there were just three networks and, PBS, there was still more information out there than we could take in. A one-hour newscast that we were getting then still left out three-quarters of what was happening in the world that day. So, again, people are not engaged. They don't know what's going on in the world. They don't even understand, most folks, especially those who weren't around at the founding of Israel. They don't understand why these lines were drawn the way they were. They don't understand, the West Bank versus the Gaza Strip. What are the differences? How Hamas even came into power. And it was voted in, and then it basically said, oh, now we're in power, we're going to show you what we really are. They don't know the history. And again, like you said, everything's on fire all at once, even from our allies. Don't forget that one of our closest allies, Saudi Arabia, guess where almost all of the 9/11 hijackers came from.
Oh, that's exactly right.
So,
and nobody talks about that.
Nobody
talks about that. But we got the crown prince in there now, and he's making
it. Oh, he's our buddy now.
Our buddy now. Well, but in all seriousness, I think I would like to think more people than not understand that if Putin wins in Ukraine, it's likely that he's not going to stop there.
Oh, no. It would be like, you know, Neville Chamberlain and appeasement, basically,
right.
Yeah.
And that's going to probably bring NATO into play,
mm-hmm.
which means you're going to bring the U.S. into play.
Correct.
And that's the kind of stuff that starts world wars.
Bingo. And, you know, it would essentially, if, I mean, the thing that folks are now afraid of before even that happens, what if Putin gets so desperate, if Ukraine starts taking Russian cities in this thing, and he starts losing not only just, you know, hundreds of thousands of soldiers, but actual Russian cities, if he chooses to use battlefield tactical nukes, that could bring NATO in, even if a NATO country wasn't invaded. Now, if he invades a NATO country, we're, you know, we have to go in.
So do you think we're right or wrong in limiting how he can use the armaments that we're giving him?
Who? Talking about Zelensky?
Zelensky, yes.
You know, if it were us being invaded, we would want to use absolutely everything to defend ourselves.
That's right.
And push back the attacker. Wow. Now, that is not necessarily in America's best strategic interest, but if America were the one being invaded, you know, and I feel that we are, especially from Canada, I'd push them all the way back to Toronto if I had my way. But, I mean, you know, again, what is necessarily in our strategic interest isn't necessarily what you would do if you were literally the nation under attack.
Do you agree or disagree with the way we exited Afghanistan, sent a message to the world that America's just going to kind of open game to do what we want to do?
I mean, you know, we should have had all of our focus on Afghanistan after 9/11. The Iraq war, Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11.
As we know very clearly now.
We should, instead of two wars, we should have had just one. That is my personal opinion. Not professional, that is my personal opinion. Now, how we withdrew from Afghanistan started poorly during the Trump administration. There was poor planning on how it was going to come out. It's just the whole plank got yanked out from under him when Biden came in. There was, you know, bad planning on how we would be getting out, that the military advisors were like, no, this is not, we shouldn't leave this particular airbase unguarded. This is not necessarily the way to draw down, even if we should have been drawing down anyway, which a lot of people did want us out. But then Biden comes in and yanks the floor out from under him. And so we had what's already not necessarily the best plan for withdrawing, now just, literally, unfortunately, blown up. And we lose American soldiers because of it.
And billions and billions and billions of dollars.
Oh, yeah. I mean, not just equipment, but literal dollars on pallets.
All right. We got about a minute left in the program. What is your advice to people out there who they don't even, you know, am I going to vote in this thing? Am I not going to? What should they really be looking at in terms of how important their vote is and what they should consider?
Well, first thing, don't get your information from what your cousin Phil, you know, sent you on Facebook. just stop. What you should start with is, does my vote even matter? Right, you know, gee, we already know how South Carolina is going to go for the presidency. Your vote matters in York County.
Absolutely.
Your vote matters in Rock Hill. Your vote can literally make a difference on the people who are closest to you and have the most to do with the taxes you pay every day. Start there. That's a reason for you to get off your duff and go vote. And then think about the big issues that you care about.
Dr. Scott Huffman, always wonderful to have you here on the Straight Talk table. I love it. We have to do this more often. Bait some issues or do some whatever. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Your with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right, Substation 2, that's where we hang out, fresh subs and salads, 6 days a week. The way we do it, let's see if we can drum up the core here. Read the white letters together at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
All right, have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.